Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15, the Festival of Tabernacles. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Our second reading this morning is Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains leapt like rams, and the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool and the hard rock into springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, before I get into the message and distract myself and go too far afield, I just want to explain how the scriptures we just read are going to function today. I'll be preaching through the Deuteronomy scripture about the Festival of Tabernacles, but that psalm we just read is about the people of God coming from slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land, and that's what the Festival of Tabernacles celebrates. The people have to live in shelters and tents and these little lean-tos that they'd made to remember the time when they were camping out for 40 years in the desert, when God was bringing them into the land of milk and honey. All right, so let me start by asking you a question. Have you ever been in the position where you had to conjure up an emotion that you weren't feeling at the time? It's kind of difficult, right? For me, it was the thing that comes to mind. Whether this is the best example or not, was my senior picture. You know, that photograph. Today's seniors in high school have these amazing photo shoots. I don't know how they do it. But, I had to get the color photo that was going in the yearbook that was fancier than all the other years. And I was nervous as heck. The photographer at one point said, "You look like you're about to cry." I'm like, that didn't help any, you know. I was supposed to conjure up an emotion of confidence, like, I look great. I was a late bloomer. It's like age 47, I felt comfortable with how I looked, and not at age 18. So anyway, that was it for me. I was supposed to feel confident in front of the camera. I was not feeling it. I was not feeling it, and the camera guy knew it. The photographer knew it. Well, I just want to point out this handy tool that I printed off this morning. This is an emotion wheel. It's actually a really helpful thing in counseling. Because one of the things we need for emotional health is to know what emotion we're feeling. We just feel like we're going to burst at the seams. We don't know why. And here's a chart that shows five inner core emotions and all the different related words that relate to them. So randomly, I'm just going to put my finger on an emotion right now. Judgmental. Perfect. All right, now, that was funny. My practice sermon was totally different, but, somebody scheduled an appointment with you and said, okay, Thursday at 4 p.m., I want you to come and you need to feel judgmental. What if you were in a perfectly good mood before then, and now you've got to all of a sudden feel a feeling that you weren't feeling before? Well, God in His infinite wisdom has called His people to have a time on the calendar when they're supposed to feel an emotion. It's called gratitude. We in the United States are blessed to have a proclamation from the president. I believe it was early October 1863 when the president said, "All of you give thanks to the God of the Bible, the God of all what was the phrase? Almighty God. Give thanks to Almighty God. And it was set on the calendar, whether you're in the mood for it or not. Well, that was a practice that took place because the tradition had started with a group of people who were already observing the Bible, already observing the Festival of Tabernacles and the patterns that are in the Old Testament, where there's a date set on the calendar saying, give thanks. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what the Lord has done. So now we're going to look at this text in Deuteronomy 16, 13 to 15, and how it calls us to give thanks. I'm going to talk a little bit more about emotions, and then I'm going to invite all of us to remember the call to salvation. See, and if you want to receive Jesus today, you can. It'll be part of the sermon. First, looking at Deuteronomy 16, 13, it tells us to give thanks for what we have. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. The threshing floor was where you separated the wheat from the chaff. You gathered the wheat stalks and you beat them down and got the wheat kernels so you could make bread. And the wine press is where you made wine. And I think you probably remember bread and wine being part of our heritage from the Lord, part of what God has taught us. There are all kinds of references to Jesus in this festival, more than I know, but what it is saying is that God has fed us. When the people were living in tents and they were going through a terrifying and dangerous wilderness with no chance of survival outside of miracles, God fed them miracle food every day. He said, I'm taking you to the land of milk and honey. That means a land that is well-watered, where you can grow good crops, you can build a stone house and live in a solid place. You'll be able to establish yourselves as a people, and you will have food. You'll have security. Here in our country, not all of us, but aside from things going really wrong, we have food security. We've got food. And here in this congregation, we've been taken care of. Now, it's my expectation that hearing this today, there are some people who are thinking, who are struggling with the feeling about what they've lost rather than the feeling about what they've been given. It was one of the things that has touched my heart about this church and made me love this church from the very beginning. This is a church that's gone through the fire of suffering. And there's been even more suffering since I've been here. But today, God says, mark the calendar for the time when you will set aside your thoughts about what you've lost and give God thanks for what he's given you. Just like Holly said, you know, like if you still had one good leg, you'd give thanks for that. God has the majesty and the purposes and the love to call you into that, to being grateful for what you have. He also says, be grateful with joy. Verse 14, be joyful at your festival. The national holiday in the United States that's patterned after this Festival of Tabernacles and other festivals like it, it became a national holiday when the President of the United States told the people, give thanks to Almighty God. That happened during the Civil War. There were plenty of reasons to be mourning and not joyful. It was a horrible, horrible mess that I hardly know the half of how bad it was. And in that time, God intervened. There was a woman who influenced President Lincoln, and for decades she had been pushing for a national day of Thanksgiving to bring the nation together. And the day of Thanksgiving that we celebrate is patterned after this commandment in Scripture to be joyful. And it was on the calendar, it was a set date, it happened every year, and you're to be joyful whether it's going well for you or not, whether you're succeeding or failing, whether you are loved or hated, whether you feel good about your future or not, be joyful. It also says, be joyful together. You, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your town. It's talking about your nuclear family, the people you owe the greatest obligation to. And it's also talking about those who aren't in a nuclear family. Their family is gone. fatherless and widows, those who are afflicted, those who are hurting, those who are outcast on the outside. One of the things that I love to see and I think is a beautiful witness to Christ is a community meal. Back at First Press Seattle, I was frustrated with that church. I felt like their Christian witness to the people outside the church wasn't so great, but they did this thing, I don't know if it was once a month, but down in the large fellowship hall, they would have a community dinner. And they didn't have a big shtick, you know, no turn or burn evangelism message at the end, but I thought it was the best witness they had. Because they just came in as Christian people and sat down and ate. And some were wealthy and some were poor and they just wanted to be together. That speaks volumes about the Lord. You know what? When God made humanity, He made us to be His family. He made us to be with us. He wants to be with us. He created us so that we would surround His throne. The visions in Revelation about the throne of God, they show saints like in white robes in the middle of the place where only angels would be. There's bright light, there's loud thunder, there's praise, and there's all this holiness and majesty and power, and there we are, you and me, saints, human beings. God created us to bring us into His holy family and to be close to Him. And so when we welcome each other, when we come together, we're giving a foretaste of heaven. We're giving a witness that you are a creation of God and God made you to be part of this family, to belong. And I think one of the most beautiful things that happens in beautiful Haines, America is the Thanksgiving meal that's going to happen this Thursday. And there we got some who are rich who could buy the meal for everybody in town and some who are poor who are thankful, maybe not poor, but a little less rich, let's say. Thankful that they don't have to buy all these expensive ingredients to put together this feast by themselves. And people come together and sit down and just say sweet things for a couple of hours. And it's absolutely beautiful. I want to thank all of you who are volunteering. And thank you, Susan, for telling people to volunteer. And if you're feeling a little bit left out because you're not volunteering and you got big plans on Thursday, I just want to tell you, you can participate in this. Here's what you do. Call Kevin and Serena and tell them thank you. Kevin's nursing a weird, bad, broken leg situation, foot situation, that is a complicated medical kind of thing, and it's got to get well. And he's supposed to rest it, and you know how Kevin is with resting. So I just want you to lift his spirits and say thank you, Kevin. You and Serena are doing one of the most beautiful things that this town has to offer. And I just want to say thank you. Just leave a message on his voicemail at this church. You can do that. That's a beautiful thing. God calls us to give thanks together. He also calls us to give thanks to Him. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord. And who was it? It was Lisa in the prayer. The reason for the season, am I right? Am I remembering that? Yes. Jesus is the reason for Christmas, and God Almighty is the reason for Thanksgiving. And this season, that's an American holiday, not all around the world. It is an all-around-the-world holiday because it represents this Bible thing, and the Bible is for all people. The Bible is for everybody. God's salvation is for everyone. And when we celebrate our American Thanksgiving toward the Lord and give thanks to God for what He's done, and not just toward the turkey, or toward the family, or toward the day off, and then we are a witness to what God has told His people to do in the Old Testament. You would not believe this celebration they had. There are a lot of things that were part of the oral tradition that weren't written down in the scripture that people practiced when they practiced this festival of booths, this camping trip. One of them was lighting lights, and one commentator said that you could see the lights from Galilee in Jerusalem. Like, it was like a rock concert. I don't know what was going on, but a million of your closest friends camping out together, celebrating, eating good food, dancing, singing, and lighting lights in a place with no electricity. They really made a big deal of it. And it would have been pitiful and sad if it was not directed toward the Lord, if it was just about us as people having a good time. But when we have these celebrations, when we remember what God has done, It's important for us to direct all that we're doing, all the ways that we're celebrating to the Lord. And I want to commend to you the opportunity that's coming. Another little shameless plug right in the middle of the sermon. 7 p.m. Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve service. And if you want to be sure that your heart is devoted in celebrating this Thanksgiving to the Lord, that's a great way to do it. It's a great way to do it. That's really why that service is there, so that we can take time out of the busy family kind of things and say, you know what? I'm celebrating Thanksgiving because I'm thankful to God. All right, finally, what this passage in Deuteronomy asks us to do is to trust Him. Trust Him in two ways. Trust Him with our earthly needs. This thanking that's going on, that's remembering the past, how they were protected through a devastating and dangerous wilderness. You know, I'm interrupting myself because it's fun, but that means it's something important I'm about to say. Imagine the toughest camping trip you've been on. Maybe backpacking, you know, boiling your own water, some situation where the details were kind of hard. Now put it in the middle of a desert where there's just no water, no shade, no food, poisonous snakes, big scorpions, and the camping trip lasts 40 years. When you get home, you would kiss the ground, right? And God brought them through that, and they're to give Him thanks. And so as they look back at how God brought them through to where they could be in a place of security, they're to look forward to the future saying, God who did it in the past will do it again. Like the old gospel song says, He's an on-time God. He might not come when you need Him, but He'll be there just for sure. Just like when they were trying to cross the Red Sea. They were scared, but God was there on time, and He brought them through the Red Sea. Trust Him for your earthly needs. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands. I remember in my 20s, I read one of the Psalms, and it said, Lord, bless us in our handiwork. And it really hit me, because I was thinking forward, like, what am I going to do with my life? I really want my life to do something for the Lord. You know, I'm not, you know, you couldn't look at me and say, wow, what an extraordinary contribution to God's kingdom this individual has had compared to others. But I'm thankful the Lord has showed me that I've done some things that He likes. And it still means the world to me if the Lord will bless the work of my hands. Can anybody relate to that? While we're still breathing, while we still have breath, while we have a chance to serve the Lord, won't we cry out, Lord, bless our handiwork. Bless the work of our hands. Bless the ministry of this church. Bless our family. Bless the things we're doing. Help us to make an impact in this world, to show that You're good, to bring about good in a world that's filled with so much hurt and harm. The Lord, we give thanks to Him with faith, trusting Him, thanking Him in advance for the way He's going to take care of us and meet our needs and bless the efforts we go to see to it that things are okay. But it also says the last words in this passage say something that I think are prophetic and forward-looking. It says, and your joy will be complete. Now, in the context, it just meant shalom. You're going to be okay. I brought you through that desert. I got you past those snakes. I got you food. I got you water. I delivered you from those bad people who were trying to kill you. And now everything's okay, and it's going to be okay in the future, 100%. Your joy will be complete. But we know, because the New Testament tells us, that the promised rest, the promised land that we're going to is heaven, eternal life, the resurrection of the body, being on earth in a resurrected body, in a restored earth. So many gospel songs talk about crossing the River Jordan. When I cross over Jordan, it means when I die, when I go to heaven. And that's because when the people of God were brought through the wilderness, the last thing they did was cross the River Jordan, and then they were in the promised land. That promised rest for us, that complete joy for us, is our salvation, our eternal salvation, our eternal life. So now I want to tell you, if you're willing to take on this form that's in the Old Testament, this Feast of Booths, this looking back, this being grateful, and you're ready to apply it to this American holiday, Thanksgiving, it means you're going to command yourself and tell yourself to be thankful, whether you feel like it or not. One more time. Here's the emotion wheel. Random chance. Here we go. Ready? Inadequate. How many times have I felt that? All right. So Thursday comes and I'm feeling inadequate. You know what I got to say? I'm sorry, inadequacy. You have to leave now. It's time to feel grateful. There's this pastor in the UK. I wish I knew him better. He said some great statements about how choosing and commanding the emotion of gratitude is incompatible with other emotions. You will have to say no to other emotions. Listen to this. You can't be thankful and proud at the same time. You can't be thankful and entitled at the same time. You can't be thankful and unforgiving at the same time. You can't be thankful and jealous at the same time. You can't be thankful and self-pitying at the same time. You can't be thankful and worried at the same time. You can't be thankful and covetous at the same time. You can't be thankful and bitter at the same time. You can't be thankful and offended at the same time. You can't be thankful and dishonoring at the same time. You can't be thankful and selfish at the same time. You can't be truly thankful and prayerless at the same time. When we say yes to God's pattern and what he's calling us into, we say no to some of those emotions. And now I want to explain to you the simplicity of becoming a Christian for the first time. And as I was researching, a preacher said, you know, congregations, I was reading a little book this week, and the preacher wrote a book before he was dying of cancer. He just had a few months left to live, and he talked about what the church is and what it's supposed to be like. And he said, preachers need to preach salvation from the pulpit, even if everyone there is a Christian. Because we who are Christians need to hear it again, the gospel that saves us. And there's always a chance that somebody who hears the message, whether online or in the house, come to find out they're not yet a Christian. So let me tell you how to become a Christian, how to become a follower of Christ. It's three simple things. One, the real you. Two, the real God. And three, the cross. It starts by addressing the real God. Lord Jesus, you know, God who has given me the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus who is God, Jesus who is the Son of God, who is the incarnation of God in the world, who is the one that I am to worship and completely give myself over to. I cannot come to God with God being something less, where I'm greater than him. When I come to him, it means my life is underneath him. What I'm about to do when I become a Christian is put myself under God's authority. He will always be the leader of my life. It'll never be negotiable. If I make this move and become a Christian, he's the Lord and I'm the servant. Come to God as he is. Come as we are. God, I come to you a sinner. I'm a lot of things. I was made to be your child. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I was made to be good. I love that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm coming to you and wanting to be a Christian because I know I won't enter your courts of salvation any other way without you saving me. And that brings us to the last part. Thank you for the cross. I believe Jesus. That wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence that you died on the cross to wipe away all my sins. It was my sins that were being paid for on that cross, and I'm sorry for them. I feel your conviction. I know they need to be put away, and I thank you for it. I receive it. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, Jesus, and I want you to wash them away. I guess there's a fourth part. This is pretty important. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. God is personal. You see, this directed at God. He's personal. He's a spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and live in you. People who are sadly mistaken and going the wrong way will invite all kinds of other spirits into their lives that are personal living spirits that are not good. God is a personal living spirit. He will come into you, into your character, into your soul, into your life, into your body, so that your body is like a temple that's inhabited by a God. Give me your Holy Spirit that I can be your disciple. That's the prayer. Jesus, I come to you. You're Almighty God. I'll come under you. I'll follow you all my days. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Your cross is the solution. So please forgive me of my sins and give me your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you all the days of my life and you can bless the work of my hands. When you pray that prayer, when you have that salvation, you have something to be grateful for at any moment, any day. God can make an appointment on the calendar and you always have a reason to be thankful. Always have a reason to be joyful. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing right now, may the Lord bless you with a gratitude that's deep and rich and eternal. Amen.